Praise Yahweh. Well, for the first time in our history, something unusual has happened. About half the congregation is either thinking about marriage or is already planning on getting married. So I thought it'd be very fitting to talk about making marriage work, specifically by honoring Yahweh. And of course, there are a number of things to look at as we consider marriage. And my wife and I just had our 21st anniversary, and so we praise Yahweh for allowing us to. Come this far. Because there have been difficulties. There have been trials. There have been struggles. But Yahweh's seen us through them all. And Yahweh can ultimately bring us into eternal life together. And we're looking forward to that time. We think about the marriage that is coming, the marriage to the Lamb, our husband, as we are a bride unto him. So today we start out with that beautiful image of the bride having prepared herself, spotless and blameless. And this is how we are to be, following the example of Yahshua the Messiah, the living word of Yahweh. Now it doesn't mean we don't deal with our flesh, we do. And I know Paul admonished or recommended that if you're single, to stay single. And the purpose for that was to focus on Yahweh, to not lose sight. He also recommended some other things for that very purpose, even if you choose to marry. And so, whether single or married, we should all be able to relate to the spiritual application of the marriage relationship. But today we'll be looking at the subject in general of making a marriage work. And let's go to the beginning, or to the start, where we find in Genesis 1, 26 through 27, "And Elohim said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and all the creeping creatures that creep on the earth. And Elohim created the man in his image. And the image of Elohim he created him, male and female he created them." We have been given the responsibility, and I'm sad to say, we're failing at it. We can look at the polluted oceans. We can look at the land. Carrie and I remember a place called, it's in an area where I should say that there's a place called Paradise Lost, and it was fitting because even the creek nearby that location was filthy, and this was in a pristine island. So it's interesting, some of the things that we're seeing today. But we have been given the responsibility of managing creation, and we've been created to be able to even procreate. And recently watching a documentary trying to put the universe in perspective for our finite minds, it's hard to not see that we are in a creation, that we have been given the right to witness the birthing of life itself. Simply amazing. Genesis 2, 23 through 25. "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." And we find ourselves understanding the scriptures more, but we find the world being shameless, not taking into account that there's a creator. But the idea here is the one flesh statement is clearly a Hebrew idiomatic phrase for being married. Yahshua, the Messiah, confirms this. It was Yahweh that had placed Adam and Eve together as one. And marriage can be a wonderful and beautiful union with physical intimacy, adding a dimension of expressing loving emotions and procreations for the addition of children to the family. Some married couples are not able to have children due to physical or other difficulties. The reason varies from war or other accidents in which injuries prevent physical intimacy or where normally it could take place. These couple otherwise lead very normal lives and in some cases adopt children, have the traditional, and I might add, biblically legal family unit made up of a man, woman, and of course children. The family is really the foundational building blocks of homes and communities. Take away the family and you'll have a breakdown of society. In most countries outside the United States, family units are made up of extended families of grandparents, grandchildren, sometimes all living within the same house or community, all caring for and looking out for one another. Israelite culture also expressed these types of living arrangements early on, though admittedly more of a nomadic ancestral living with the likes of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do we fully understand what Yahweh expects in a marriage union? Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning of the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what Elohim has joined together, let man not separate. A marriage is an ordained institution by Yahweh, hence one of the reasons he says he hates divorce. The word also says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for Elohim will judge the adulterer and all sexually immoral. So we don't put ourselves in a position where that could happen. We have to be careful and not compromise our walk with the Father and Yahshua. It's devastating for a marriage to go outside of the marriage. There are difficulties which must be overcome in marriage, and since Yahweh hates divorce, divorce should not be an option, and this should be the mindset going into marriage. This doesn't mean there aren't reasons for divorce, as there are. There are also times in which it is appropriate to separate when no other solution is immediately apparent. But the goal in such situation, or in such a situation, should be reconciliation through further communication and even counseling. The vows one makes the marriage a solemn covenant. I don't know if we think about that, but it is a covenant, and it's a bilateral agreement with Yahweh as a witness. It's a covenant in which the couple vow to stay together through it all until death do us part. Speaking of going through it all, the first 2 years typically are the hardest. The minister who married my wife and I told us through counseling before marriage that he would see us in 6 months for counseling after marriage. He was right, and we did. One of the things that helped us was we were not unequally yoked. We were committed in our religious and therefore moral commitments beforehand. No doubt this was one reason why Paul admonished members to marry within the body of Messiah only. We are already considered the bride of Messiah, and the clean is not to mix with the unclean. Besides being of the same faith, one of the things we did to help lessen the problems, because those problems will arise, was to take a computerized compatibility analysis. Of course, this couldn't have been done years ago, but it can be done today. And it helped identify the things that we needed to talk about. Things like finances, children. You might be surprised how many people get married and don't yet talk about the simple fact of children. Whether you want them or not, how many you want, how we're going to take care of them, this type of thing. But also different things like career plans, job responsibilities at home, and so on and so forth. We also spent time in various social situations, not just going to the movies, not just going out alone with one another, but with others in group settings. The very purpose of this is to see how the other interacts with others. This way you get to know the person you are, till death do you part, getting involved with. A potential marriage partner not willing to allow you to have other friends, or wants you to stay away from your family, maybe a red flag for you. There are such things as toxic relationships, unhealthy behaviors that do more damage than good. An overly jealous individual who is manipulative, or an individual who is constantly criticizing, can also cause emotional trauma and heartache long term, none of which is scriptural or beneficial for either party. Besides all of this, there are helps out there, both in writing and in videos on various subjects to help marriages and those thinking about it. While we won't be getting into the toxic self-help guides, which there are, they are out there if you think you might be in a damaging relationship. But remember, your first priority is to Yahweh, who wants you healthy and blessed. Statistically, there is a high rate of divorce in America and other parts of the world. More than half end in divorce. Hence, there is a need for such help, self-help materials. The love bank idea. Everything you do or say either makes deposits or withdrawals. Honey, that dress makes you look fat. Okay, men, is that a withdrawal or a deposit? Honey, did you know that you're my best friend and love of my life? Deposit or withdrawal? Catching the door for one another. This is typically men. Also sending a card or flowers with a card. Going out on a date, stuff you did when you were dating. Deposits that will continue to make the marriage a joyful one. But with that said, there are no perfect marriages, except for the one that's coming. And we need to keep that in mind, even with our own marriages. The best we can do for our own marriages, and making the best of them and making them a blessing, is to always keep Yahshua and Yahweh in mind in our lives. All marriages can grow and prosper. For Carrie and I, one of the tools was a book called His Needs or Her Needs, which covered the basic needs of a man versus a woman. We'll just touch a little here on this book, which all married couples or those thinking about marriage should have in their personal library. It points out some of the basic needs, but important ones nonetheless. Here's a couple. Keeping in mind, men and women think differently at times. Man is logical, they think. Men want respect and to be esteemed. Men like companionship and physical activities at times, and at other times, men want to go in their figurative cave to hibernate for a while. Women tend to be more emotional. They have feelings. They think too, but differently in some situations. And many times, feelings are attached to those thoughts. So when hearing what a woman is saying, you have to understand that she's speaking from the heart and expressing the best she can those feelings. And it's hard for us men to understand that sometimes. Women want stability and security. Women like companionship too, but in a conversational way more than men. And these roles, of which just a couple are mentioned here, can be reversed, but not typically so. What happens when a man wants to go into his cave while a woman wants to talk? It's called conflict. And every marriage has some conflict to one degree or another, especially the first couple of years. One of the best things one can do in a marriage is to spend time talking and hearing what the other one is saying, which is not a problem at the beginning, typically, when courting. But after the marriage, it can wane and there can be disillusionment on both sides due to this. If there's silence, you start to wonder, you start to think, well, what's the other one thinking? They're not talking to me. He's going off into his cave because, you know, he just got home from work, but I've been here sitting and thinking about him all day, and I wanted to talk. So we have to understand where we're coming from and each of our personalities and our backgrounds, it all comes into play. Waiters and waitresses can often tell who is married and who is not when serving tables. Couples dating are often always more talkative. After marriage, it can be challenging, especially for men, as it, in general, it's been proven we tend to speak less. But that is actually a blessing for women who have the need to express themselves and to know that they are understood. So we have a balance, in a sense, as far as needs and compatibility goes. Mirroring back what one says can really be beneficial in communicating and being understood. It should be noted that communication, if the leading and decisive reason of marriage, It should be noted that communication, if the leading and decisive reason a marriage will either prosper or grow. Now, let me put this in my own words because I can't even read my own writing here. Communication is the key factor in whether or not we will have a marriage that prospers and grows or one that withers and dies. That's what all the studies show. They took a look at 300 studies on marriage and what made a marriage work. It was communication. That came out of all those studies. They did a study on all those studies, and the study showed that communication was at the top. So we find ourselves needing to communicate, needing to express ourselves to one another. And in doing so, it creates intimacy. And it helps one another to understand one another and to move forward helping one another because we understand each other's needs. This can relate to the body even, understanding what we need individually as a body with brothers and sisters in this body. It's also important to relate this to our relationship with Yahweh through Yahshua, to always pray, stay connected, studying the Word. If the latter relationship is suffering, then the former will also. Ultimately, we want both to prosper, because that is what Yahweh wants as well. I don't know if you can see this up here, but that's a man's hand and also a woman's hand together on the Bible. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5. Do not deprive one another except for agreement for a time to give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Remember, not just prayer, but fasting as well. There are times when we need to fast, not just on the Day of Atonement. And come together again so that Satan does not try you because of your lack of self-control. You know, coming together all intimately is not to be neglected. But there are definitely times to focus on prayer and study through fasting. A healthy marriage in Messiah is one that focuses on Yahweh and each other, and together towards others even. Ephesians 5, 25 through 30. Husbands, love your wives, just as Messiah also loved the assembly, gave himself for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the assembly in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Messiah also does the assembly, because we are members of his body. It's been said that love is a decision. It's a decision to respect and serve the one whom you've made a vow to. And I think we who've made a vow and have been baptized in Yahshua's name can relate to this more fully in a spiritual way. Our first and foremost priority is to Yahweh through Yahshua. And then we have marriages, we have other responsibilities, we have joys, and we have defeats in our life, negative things that happen. But through them all, we can work together and improve and move forward. And we know that Yahshua promised never to leave us. We may not always feel close to Yahweh, but it doesn't mean we stop paying attention to what he tells us and his word to do. No, in fact, we must continue to respect and serve him through his Son, our Master and Savior. Even if we don't understand why certain things happen in our life, such as a traumatic event, which we think shouldn't have happened, we must continue to serve and love, as love is a decision and not just a feeling. We choose to do what is right, no matter what, no matter the circumstances, whether or not anyone is looking. As in fact, we know that nothing escapes. You always notice. Ephesians 5:22-24, wives, be subject to your husbands as to the master, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Messiah is also the head of the assembly, he himself being the savior of the body. But as the assembly is subject to the Messiah, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands and everything. And there are reasons which we don't always understand for the things we're told to do, just as we understand more than our children, Yahweh understands more than we do. Peter, after going through a process of even denying the Savior at one point in his life, says in 1 Peter 3:1-2, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Peter understood in his life that his actions had consequences. And, you know, over the years, I've seen a lot. And we've all seen different things, and it's disturbing. We want the brethren to overcome. We want everyone to succeed. But we struggle with some of the things that we find out that happens. But Yahweh is faithful. If we repent, we can overcome. We need to do that because we're told that it's those that overcome that will receive of the rewards that are coming and even have life eternal. But it's a process. And Peter understood in his own life that his actions had consequences, both good and bad. But good if good is done, affecting even others in obedience to what is right. He also seemed to understand that women tend to have more influence than maybe even they realized. You know, one of the more profound chapters concerning wives in the Bible is Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31:10-12 says in the King James, an excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her. You know, I trust my wife. We need to come to a point where we can trust one another and ultimately trust Yahweh in what he says he'll do and trust in the Savior, knowing that he gave his life for us. This all works together. And he will have no lack of gain. He does him good and not evil all the days of her life. We're to do good for the kingdom and for our King, Yahshua, all the days of our life. Proverbs 31:15-20. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength, makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the staff, and her hand grasps the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor and stretches out her hands to the needy. There are spiritual applications to all of this, things that we can think about. For example, her lamp does not go out at night. Plenty of oil, not like other foolish ones who run out of oil. From her earnings, her increase, she plants a vineyard. Her tithes and offerings provides the seeds of Yahweh's word to be planted for the harvest. There's also where she extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hand to the needy. You know, we do this to a dying and sick world with the message of the coming kingdom and of Messiah. And there's other ways to relate these things. So as we read the word, as we study it, with Yahweh's Spirit within us. We grow. We understand more. We come to a better and a more intimate relationship with our Father. Says here, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. A possible allusion to the coming tribulation. If that comes in our lifetime, we'll be involved with helping others. That's the hope. Allowing them to know what is going on. And we have to prepare now for that time and for the time yet to come, even eternal life. Men and women have the respectful roles in a marriage relationship to love and to serve one another. And if able, to have children, raise them up in the ways of Yahweh to the glory and esteem for Him. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've been focusing on Yahweh. This is what we're to do. Even though we think about our own lives, we think about the unions that we have, the friendships, the loves, the marriages, we need to still keep Yahweh in mind first and foremost. Setting an example to the world of what it means to serve the Creator of the universe. To see the physical and spiritual application of marriage relationship as a key to living a long and joyful life in Messiah and with each other in marriage within the body of Messiah. In a marriage, a man and a woman can truly become one, thinking and acting more in sync together as the years pass. And Carrie and I have experienced this firsthand. I know Brother John Reese and he was expressing that here not too long ago. It happens. It doesn't mean we haven't had our struggles. Indeed, we have. But we have come through all of them and have grown closer together in Messiah. We are both looking forward to the marriage supper and pray you'll be there too. Revelation 19, 7 through 8, and we'll close with this. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Making marriage work is something that will bring joy to us, but it also is something that will bring joy to Yahweh. To see His way being worked out in us is a blessing to Him, and it honors Him ultimately. Hallelujah.